Welcome back to another edition of the Edge Podcast. Publisher Brendan Slaughter here for BeaversEdge.com, joined by Beavers Edge writer Ryan Harlan back on the podcast. Good to be back with you guys. We got a whole bunch to get into on today's edition of the podcast. We got everything from football practice reports to Damian Martinez to the women's basketball departures to some positive news with some baseball going on, as well as the Oregon State baseball team is set to take on Stanford this weekend. So lots to get into here on the Edge podcast. Want to go ahead and welcome in Ryan Harlan. Ryan, you've been busy this week keeping things wired in at Beaver's Edge. Your practice reports have been stellar, my friend. In addition
Thank
to all
you.
that, there's been so much other news going on this week too. Let's just start with how you are, man, and what kind of a week has this been like down in Corvallis?
Doing good. I mean, it's busy. It's one of those things where, like, it's that kind of week. It's that week, like, similar when Smith left. It's similar with, like, how realignment was during the summer. It was it was just very much a hectic week, but more of, like, after dealing with that, I feel comfortable with this. It's just kind of like you just get to a point where you're like, okay, like, this is the new normal in college athletics. Like, there's nothing
totally
we can do. Yeah.
And, you know, it's like, I don't even really know how to put this week into words. I mean, obviously we're going to start with Damian Martinez because that was the bombshell that dropped earlier this week. And, you know, I think it's safe to say, Ryan, that it caught pretty much everybody by surprise. I mean, we learned today from your conversations with Trent Bray that Trent knew Monday night, per what he said, that he had a conversation with Damian, and that was that. But we all found out kind of during slash the end of practice on Tuesday. And then, for lack of better terms, all hell broke loose. And it's kind of been that way for about 48 hours. Just kind of your initial thoughts on the situation. You know, we can kind of set the stage. I think most everyone's kind of read what the, you know, he said part of this was, with Damian Martinez, you know, saying, you know, it was a decision for him. And then, you know, perhaps the collective did not deliver on promises. And then you've seen Oregon State, the collective, come out and say, you know, we did deliver on promises. So just a really ugly situation, Ryan, and one that I didn't think Oregon State fans would find themselves in, considering how much, you know, Damian Martinez was, you know, posting the Jordan Belfort Wolf of Wall Street gif back in November. I'm not leaving. And, you know, kind of double, tripled, and quintupled down on that, like, throughout the months. And I find it so interesting that, like, you know, it happened the way that it did, because I don't think anybody saw it coming. And it was one of those things where, for the most part, I think it caught everyone by surprise. What was kind of your thoughts when it came down? And ultimately, were you surprised?
I was a little surprised on Tuesday. Just kind of going in, I didn't think much of, Dame not showing up for practice, because
sure.
I was kind of under the impression of, like, hey maybe it's he's sick or off day or whatever, like, because of what he had said previously. So I didn't think much of it. And then after finishing talking up to Thomas Ford Jr., the new running backs coach, that's when my phone started to blow up, where, like, there were rumors of him leaving, and then that became official later that day on Tuesday, and it just kind of took me off guard and kind of was of a, like, oh, that makes sense as to why. And I think with the way how the situation's being dealt with, it's kind of terrible optics for how Damien's kind of handling this. It's like, I understand that, you know, you might have been doing this in the best interest, but at the same time, like, there's a line of professionalism that I think got crossed a little bit, that's kind of not making him look the best in this situation, specifically with, like, the messaging behind everything and saying, oh, the collective didn't do their part, or anything that's been reported, that's been said, that's false. I'm trying to correct the story to fit my own narrative of what happened.
Right.
Like, even the latest sort of report on this entire situation seems to even backtrack some of what he had said previously. So it's kind of a thing where I'm like, I have a hard time believing that the collective didn't pull their end of the bargain. Like,
Sure.
it seemed like Damnation was willing to help out Martinez in any way, but more of kind of like it just seems like it was somebody probably in his ear, probably his agent, telling him kind of what to say in order to make the exit a little more, I guess, palatable.
Yeah.
Like, it just kind of, that's just kind of how it kind of came across, and it just continues to be this, like, this kind of war words of like, this is what was said, but this is not what was said. And my understanding, at least, was that the collective was the one were pulling their end of the bargain, and it just probably was Dame's agent in his ear saying, hey, like, if you go to another school, you're gonna get more exposure, you're gonna get, you know, you're gonna be able to get more eyes on you than you would playing a primarily Mountain West dominant schedule.
Yeah, you know, I think you know, great points across the board, and you know, fantastic insight. And I think, oh, pretty much everything you said kind of tracks with what I think too. I mean, ultimately, we may never know exactly what the truth is. You know what they always say, you know, Ryan, there's you know, his version, and then the truth, right? So it's one of those things where I think kind of what you're saying, like, if you know, we talked about it a little bit on Rip City Mornings this week, and just, you know, my kind of take on it is, I think ultimately with that, like, it's very convenient that, you know, shortly after all this went down, and most likely Damian Martinez received all of Beaver Nation in his mentions, for lack of better terms. And then, like you said, oh, well, if I justify it this way, I can sleep at night, for lack of better terms. And I don't mean that, you know, viciously in any way. I mean, hey, people got to do what they think is best for him. And that's what he says he's doing here. The problem that I have is that, like it doesn't seem like there's a real firm reason. Like, this was kind of like a cop out, for lack of better terms. Like, oh, yeah, you know, the agent got my ear. And then it's like, oh, well, they're not meeting the terms based on what my agent says they should be meeting, even though I just think getting another voice chattering in the ear kind of was negative. And, you know, that's the thing we've heard about in college athletics now. Now that these guys can have agents, you know, that's, you know, agents are going to do, Ryan, what gets them their cut, right? At the end of the day, like, is that agent getting a 3% cut from what Damian Martinez is making in Oregon State? Probably not. Is he going to get a cut of what he'll make at his new school? I would be willing to bet so. So, you know, that's something where everything is driven by money. And, you know, it's, you know, I think, like, this kind of broke my brain, as far as, like, now I expect nothing in college. Like, nothing surprises me in college football anymore. I've now seen, you know, a guy who's doubled down, tripled down, has been like, hey, you know, I'm staying loyal, all these things. And that was the thing where I just want to take a moment and just, you know, shout out Beaver fans a little bit, because, you know, it's one thing for you and I, Ryan, who are on the journalistic side of this, but, like, for the fans, and I saw so many, you know, just fans outpouring in my mentions on beaversedge.com that were like, I just bought my kid a Martinez jersey. Who do I see about that? This, you know, I was telling my kids, this is the guy to model yourself after. This is the character, right? And I can't tell you how many times I saw variations of that. And, you know, I don't want to turn this into a, you know, just hate on Martinez, because I think that's happened enough, and it is what it is. And like Trent Bray said, onwards and forwards, it's not great for Oregon State, and you would like to have him. But at the end of the day, you know, as I said this morning, Ryan, football practice continued, like, life goes on, right? So there's eight, you know, 100 and some other players who are like, hey, you know, we're happy to be here, we're happy to work, and all those things. But, you know, that's kind of was my thing. It's just like you said, the optics. You know, I feel disappointed for a lot of Beaver fans who had kind of said, you know, this was the guy we hang our hat on. This was kind of the rallying cry amidst Jonathan Smith leaving, amidst, you know, all the realignment stuff. Like, Damian Martinez was the anchor that you kind of held yourself onto. And I think a lot of Beaver fans were like, we're drowning in the ocean without a life preserver now. And, you know, I think it just kind of rocked them to their core, so to speak. And it was just the way it was handled. It's hard to fully respect the way it was handled, if that makes sense.
Oh no, I agree, and that's how I my biggest sticking point from it was the situation of how it was handled, and kind of like what Dame was saying in the lead up to his departure, because that
Yep.
is something where I think a lot of Oregon State fans are hurt by, is the preaching of loyalty all the way up until the third week of spring football practice, where something at that point in time changed, whatever that might
Yep.
be,
Spring break.
that was, yeah, that was the moment there. Like, I sure, like the timing is terrible for this to happen, but also if he, I think if Damian didn't play it out like this and just issued a kind of vague statement
Yeah.
about it, just kind of saying this is why I'm entering the portal. Sure, people have been upset, but they wouldn't be upset to the degree to which they are. But even then, too, like if you were going to leave, why didn't you do it with everybody else at the end of the season?
Right.
That's the other thing where I'm kind of like, I don't really like the timing of that. And sure, maybe exposure is the reason, but NFL scouts are going to find you no matter where you play. And if
I agree.
that's Damian Martinez's goal of the next season, he could have stuck around for one more year, and he probably would have not been a first round pick, but at least second, third round pick for that, because the way the NFL goes
Sure,
with how they
values
value
running
running backs.
backs now. Yeah,
Yeah.
totally, totally.
So he probably would have been a high draft pick anyway. It's a very head scratching move at the end of the day, and really, like as Bray said, it's onwards at this point. And even Coach Ford kind of said it too, of like, hey, the guys that are here, I want to coach them and I want to put all my energy into them. And that's who this coaching staff is going to care about at the end of the day, is the guys that stick around and want to be Beavers. And that was something Coach Ford emphasized
Yeah.
in his presser on Tuesday. He didn't talk about Damian not being there. He just
Yeah.
kind of briefly mentioned him, but like that was something where he kind of pointed that there. And I agree. Like, life goes on. Like, at this point, it's a big loss, but the depth I don't think takes that much of a hit with both Anthony Hankerson, Jam Griffin, and the rest of that room combined together. I mean, if Dame did stay, it would have been four running backs that could have been running back one on any
Yeah.
team. They're sure it's a luxury, but it's not a necessity at the end of the day. And you have two running backs coming in next year that are even more hungry at the chomp at the bit to see significant time with him
Total,
gone.
totally. I
So
mean,
that's trying to get away from that negative
yeah.
mindset, going a little more positive of what Beaver fans have to look forward to, at least for football, headed into fall camp.
Totally. And you know, it's one of those things where, you know, it was maybe the most, you know, and I think it applies to many, many aspects of life, Ryan, but it's like you can only control what you can control. And in this particular case, Trent Brake couldn't control it. No one on Oregon State could control it. You know, like you guys mentioned it, like Trent was asked, did you try to get him to stay? And he's like, of course. But, you know, there was, you know, obviously more to than what we entirely know. And, you know, we'll see where his landing spot is ultimately. I'm curious, and this is something that was tossed out a little bit on Beaver's Edge too on the message boards, and something that I think there maybe are some legs to it, but I think this purely was driven by agent and money, and I think that's what ultimately pushed it over the top. Some were out there saying, hey, maybe, you know, Damian had some concerns about Ryan Gunderson's offense and how he's going to be used compared to the Brian Lindgren offense. And no doubt we've seen it with our own eyes in spring. It is a different offense. They are going to be running the ball a little bit differently. They're still going to be a ground first team, but it's going to be different formations, different schemes, all those things. And, you know, with that, there is a case to be made, Ryan, that Jam Griffin and Anthony Hankerson, both about 5'9", 190, their physique is a little bit better suited towards Gunderson's kind of more RPO style offense. And I think that's kind of what you guys are seeing right now in practices. And what we've kind of seen is that, those kind of really quick backs, they like to get the ball in space and so on. And that's when you arrive at Isaiah Newell, who's kind of the Martinez-esque type as far as the physique. I believe Newell is 6'2", 220, somewhere right around there, compared to those other guys who are, 30 pounds lighter than Martinez was. So I think, and I wrote about this yesterday, that those two guys that you mentioned are absolutely going to be at the top. But Isaiah Newell could be one of the bigger recipients of Damian's departure simply because he boasts that same frame, more of the bigger style running back in between the tackles rather than the edge-to-edge, speed on the sides. So, I mean, obviously, to your point, there's not a running back room in America that wouldn't want Martinez. Now, that's to say, the Beavers did not, get better or aren't the same without Martinez. It is a loss. But as Ryan mentioned, you feel good about, having a player like Jam there, having a guy like Anthony Hankerson, who has been very impressive in spring so far. Obviously, we mentioned, what the freshmen, Salahuddin Hala and, Cornell Hatcher are going to bring in as well. And then you combine those guys with Newell, who we mentioned as well. It's still a pretty depth heavy room. So that's a good thing for Oregon State. I mean, they only had three scholarship running backs all of last year. So, from that perspective, they can definitely take it. I'm just, at the end of the day, like, it's not even so much the talent or the departure fit, because I think Oregon State can still win games without Damian Martinez. I think it's more just like your university took like a really big PR gut punch this week. That's kind of how I look at this. And it's like, how many more PR gut punches, Ryan, can this university take? And just like and I should say this athletically, academically, Oregon State's Oregon State, but athletically speaking, you're talking Damian Martinez, Mr. Loyalist taken off. You're talking about, Taliyah Von Ohlhoff and maybe the heart and soul of the women's team. And we'll get to the women a little bit later in the podcast if we don't talk about Martinez for the whole time. But, just that. And then, all this, it just, it, the, other five players that have joined in the women's departures now, Ryan, the men's basketball departures. It kind of seems like Oregon State fans have kind of had to take their medicine these last couple weeks, and recently even months, going back to like realignment and all that. And I've definitely seen some frustrations from fans, and it's a tough time. It is a tough time to support Oregon State athletics, I'll say that.
Yeah, the frustrations are warranted too, but
Yeah.
at some point it's just kind of like there's nothing you can really do because the
Right.
decisions that are being made are at the top by these TV networks that basically have said that, hey, Oregon State, hey, Washington State, we don't value the same way that we do for the other 10 schools, and that's really it. It's and coming from the East Coast, like there's not a lot of West Coast games that are shown in prime time slots. And even for when I was watching an Oregon State game before, so when I arrived in 2019 as a freshman here, COVID, and then before I came back to Corvallis in fall of 21, I was watching the Hawaii game, Oregon State versus Hawaii, also too. So Civil War that year, 2020, of watching that game. I was up till 2, 3 a.m. on the East Coast watching that because of just when they showed that game out there. And really, like, the big driving factors, at least for like conferences, are like those big ones of the Big Ten, the SEC, the ACC. Virginia is heavily dominant with SEC and ACC games on Fridays and Saturdays. So it's frustrating to see. And even for myself, of like just having to cover realignment and just this whole thing of the slow, inevitable demise of a historic conference. It's sad to see, but also at the same time, it's just like at this point, with everything that we've already gone through, nothing surprises me at this point. It's not a matter of And even other schools are dealing with this too, but for like transfers and all that, it's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when. And that's the biggest like takeaway I have from realignment was it was just not a matter of if someone's gonna do this or this. It's
Yeah.
just when it's gonna happen, and you can't control it until it happens.
Yeah, no, 100%. You know, you hit so many things like right on the head. And you know, to that point, Ryan, I make a plea for this. It seems like every three podcasts, but maybe one day, it'll actually get its way to the top. You know, at this point, Ryan, Oregon State just needs its super booster, Jensen Huang, to come in and just save the university, save the athletic program. I mean, you know, 17th richest person in the world and growing, and an Oregon State alum. And you know, it's at this point, it's like outside of like a massive cash infusion and being like, you know, we'll just support ourselves for a while. Like, you know, from that perspective, like, you know, obviously we'll see how realignment continues to swing, but like, you know, Oregon State, the goal hasn't really changed in the sense of like Oregon State still has to, you know, keep themselves in the lifeboat, so to speak, until the next round of realignment comes, whether that's the super conference, you know, that's a cool idea. You know, whether that's, you know, the, you know, getting an invite to the Big 12, you know, whatever it is, like if Oregon State doesn't want to fall into athletic mediocrity. And you know, maybe there are maybe baseball's the sport that can buck that trend with the national championships and the pedigree that it has. And it looks like so far that's kind of been the lone sport that's kind of been able to hold water and not have, you know, guys seek the portal. But again, this is still the last year of their Pac-12 schedule, so we'll see what that ultimately comes out to be. But you know, at the end of the day, like it's just it's a situation where Oregon State is still like hanging on and they've done like everything they think they can, like right, Ryan, but like it's still kind of like in this waiting period. And I think that part is just unbelievably frustrating to alumni, to probably, I mean, if it's frustrating to alumni, I mean, you don't, I mean, absolutely, like Damian Martinez, and that was probably frustrating to the coaching staff, probably even frustrating to several players, right, in the way that it, you know, went down and all that. So, like you said, I think more than anything, Oregon State just needs to kind of circle the wagons and get back to moving forward and stay and getting back on the positive train. Because I think this one just kind of to kind of put a bow tie on Martinez before we kind of transition into, you know, talking some football, you know, they just kind of needed to, you know, put a band-aid on just an explosive situation.
Oh yeah, agreed. And Jensen is supposed to be here on campus
I
sometime
heard that.
soon.
I mean, just
So
I'm just saying, man, he's got some wealth, man. He's got some wealth.
I mean, like, it's just kind of this unfavorable situation. And I think the last like words I'm gonna say, just put it in bow tie on this, was like
Yeah.
the way college athletics has gone. To the people out there at the top making these decisions, it's like, don't try to pretend that we're not already at a minor league system when it comes to like college football. That's essentially what we've become, and like, just time to rip the band-aid off and fully embrace that at that point, because like it's what it is. It's just those people at the top are dancing around it and
Yeah.
kind of like, oh, we're not gonna say it is, but in reality that's the actual case. So it's just kind of like that's the trend that we're going towards, and it sucks for the sport, and especially for schools like Oregon State and Washington
Yeah.
State. But like, I think it's just kind of like it's the new normal until something changes.
Yeah, and you know, I don't think anyone could have quite seen this coming a few years ago, but yeah, I mean, I've been on the record. I hate what this has done to college sports. I hate what NIL's done to college sports. I hate what it's done to, you know, just like you said, schools like Oregon State, Washington State, and they're not going to be the last, Ryan. Wait
No.
until the ACC decides, hey, Boston College, you're not good enough to be there, you know, there or you know, I guess I shouldn't say, you know, Purdue now after basketball, but Purdue's been very mediocre in football for a long time. We've just found out football is what drove the bus and all the realignment. You know, you've got all these second and third tier sports that aren't football that are now having to travel cross country to play, you know, softball and baseball, and that's all been talked about. But, you know, at the end of the day, it's just, it's real, you know, as someone who has watched college sports for a very long time and grown up with it and am in this business because of my love of college athletics. It's been disappointing. And definitely you have to kind of adjust your expectations and kind of adjust the new normal, as Ryan so eloquently put. And you know, that's it. But at the end of the day, you know, using it as a transition, life moves on, as Ryan said. And, you know, we could sit here and talk about Martinez until we're blue in the face. But at the end of the day, Ryan, Trent Bray and the other 100 and some football players took to Reser Stadium today. And we're back at practice for spring practice number 10, if you can believe it. It feels like it just got underway and we're only just a few away from it being wrapped up, spring game a week from Saturday. You've been there this week with TJ Mathewson. Obviously, he wasn't able to join us on this pod this time, but the reports have been good. Most what I want to start with, obviously, is the return of or rather the debut of Jabari Johnson and just what, you know, he's been able to do. Obviously, we saw him in that walking boot the early part of spring. Ryan, what has he done at practice so far, and what have you seen from him?
So Bray kind of said that he would be available for the second half. Didn't really specify when, but that Tuesday, with Dame absent, I saw him in helmet and shoulder pads, which I was a little surprised to see. Not gonna lie, I was kind of like, "Whoa, this is new."
Yeah, exactly.
This is new, and I know a lot of Oregon State fans in my mentions and people that I talked to have been excited to see what Jabari has been able to do. And that first practice, he really only just threw to receivers and tight ends. He didn't really take any 7-on-7 reps or any team reps. They're slowly kind of easing him back in. That first practice, saw him complete a few throws. He's really accurate with the ball. He throws a really nice ball, very much like right on the numbers for a receiver, just easily catchable, very, very good arm strength too, especially today. He threw it deep a couple times and some 7-on-7 work, and that was kind of the next step for him, was getting that under his belt. So he has the arm talent, similar, I wouldn't say like exactly like DJ's arm. DJ and him are very different style quarterbacks.
Sure.
Big time. But like very much that like ability to throw the ball deep.
Yeah.
He can do that consistently. He's very accurate in his timing. And like even for I noted in today's practice report that a couple drops happened on a few of his passes, but that wasn't really his fault. It was more the receiver's fault. There was one, Jalen Holmes, on about like a slant crosser type route,
sure,
where Holmes had it in his hands and it just went right through, and he like threw his hands up like he couldn't believe it, like,
yeah,
that he dropped that pass. So that was not on Jabari by any means. It was receiver on that throw in particular for what I just mentioned. But so they're kind of just easing him in a little bit since he's not practiced in a while, so he's not cleared yet, it seems like, to go full contact, because even in team reps they didn't throw him in.
Sure.
And I think probably we could see him in the spring game, maybe, if they gave him a series and he's cleared by then, but if not, we'll probably wait till fall camp to see him.
Yeah,
in a team-on-team setting.
Yeah, essentially. I know that there's been a lot of excitement for him, Ryan, and I know you and I kind of talked about it last practice. We were there together, and, you know, you talk about, you know, the fact that he was very highly ranked. I mean, just like we mentioned it before, for perspective, as far as dual threat quarterbacks went in that 2023 class, he was like one spot below Aiden Childs, and we all knew how special Aiden Childs was, and, you know, all is, was, you know, whatever, but that all being said, I think there were very high expectations for him coming in, despite, you know, not playing at Missouri. And I don't think there's necessarily like, hey, this dude's going to beat out everybody and be a world beater. But the fact, like, hearing what you just said shows me why he was a four-star recruit and why he was as highly decorated coming out of high school out of Tacoma and Washington as he was. He put up stupid numbers in high school, folks. Like I said, go check out Beaver's Edge and, you know, search, you know, Jabari Johnson with it, and we have a couple stories that have his high school numbers. I mean, they're insane, the numbers he put up and the dual threat ability too. You know, I believe over 2,000 yards rushing on top of it all for his high school career. So a lot to like there. And, you know, to your point, you said, yeah, and we put today, you know, Ben Gilbranson did not participate in practice today. He was there. Just got to state the record on that. He was there.
Yeah, he was there.
And then,
yeah,
you know,
it was kind of like, right. kind of like, I know after the the Dame news is kind of like oh, you're like wait. Yeah,
Beaver
you're
fans
not.
are going to be gun
Yeah.
shy for a little while, no doubt. But, and then, to up the other side of the equation, and, I still think he's got potential. But, Ryan, is it a stretch to say that Giovanni McCoy is maybe underperformed compared to where we would have thought he would have been at this point?
I think there's an adjustment period for Giovanni.
Sure.
I really do think it's maybe a little too early to write him off right now.
Yeah, no, for sure.
But like he's definitely struggled at times. Like there's a few throws even today. He had a few good throws, but also an interception as well
Sure.
too. That was just kind of, I think arm strength is definitely something that's a little bit of a concern and adjustment speed of the game. But that's kind of what spring ball is for, and we'll see how he progresses afterwards and into fall camp, but he's got a lot of ground to make up on Ben Gulbranson.
Yeah. No, and I'm
Yeah.
curious to kind of see because again, spring is interesting. Again, obviously you were there too, Ryan. DJ was not he wasn't a world beater in spring last year. Like I remember when DJ was here and we're all like, DJ hasn't quite separated himself yet. And
Yeah.
it spring can be a little funky sometimes. And again, I really liked what Giovanni put up at Idaho. But again, we talked about that adjustment period, and I think it's gonna be a little bit longer than maybe we expect in terms of just like hit the ground running, ready to go. Real quick, just because we got to cover a couple more things before we run out of time. Again, big thanks to Ryan Harlan for jumping on this edition of the Edge podcast. And big thanks to everyone for tuning in and continuing to read all of our stuff. Make sure to check out Ryan and TJ's full practice report at beaversedge.com today. If you're not a subscriber, we got an awesome 30-day free trial. You can just hop on over to the front page, click on that, and check out everything we've had for spring ball so far. But moving over to the defense, just to kind of give them some cred too, Ryan. Seemed like today interceptions, DBs were really kind of flexing their muscle out there. And then, the offense has obviously been a work in progress. New scheme, new system. We've talked about it, you, me, and TJ to close out the early part of spring, and it seems like it's continued now. The defense really does seem like it's pretty much what we've come to expect under Bray. Doesn't look like there's a whole lot of different schematic changes, maybe some tweaks with Keith Hayward here. But if Oregon State fans wanted something to be confident about heading into the season, I still think it's the defense. Despite some new personnel, they look to be getting after it pretty well over there.
Oh yeah, and I think the strength of this defense is the secondary,
Yeah.
in particular. Like Kobe Singleton has definitely been something that stood out, and even Exodus Ayers today too had
Yeah.
an interception. So the secondary I think is probably the strongest suit of the defensive side of the ball for Hayward, and even some small minor tweaks like personnel and what he's bringing to that. So similar concepts. There's not a lot of drop off. Similar concepts, but just some slight things that probably Hayward has brought over from his time in the NFL and
Sure.
his coaching journey to getting to this point as well too. And really, like they're going to be exactly as if Bray was coaching the
Right.
defense. Like that's the best way I can kind of see it. But the secondary I think is going to be the biggest strong suit, and then linebackers and that as well too, with both Chisholm and Melvin Jordan holding down the middle of that front seven there.
Yeah, there's definitely, and you hit it right on the head. I mean, the secondary's got some pieces back, obviously Jaden Robinson, Kobe Singleton. You guys talked to Skylar Thomas today. I am so excited to see that guy back. Hopefully, you talk about him and Alton Julian, who have had both had, couples years robbed with ACLs, and those guys were extremely productive players when they were on the field. So it was great to hear him. And then to your point about the linebackers, talking to AJ Cooper today, the new inside linebackers coach, like what we saw from and heard from him. And then, you're right, the whole, defensive line, new faces, whole linebacking core, new faces. And they did a great job of replacing, brought in some JUCO guys, had some guys that are back and have played a little bit. I know that Aiden Sullivan's been a guy in the middle that's been, impressive. DJ Westlock on the edge has been a guy, the Missouri transfer that, I've been impressed with. And, up and down, it's definitely going to be something where I highly encourage, it's been a frustrating, week for Beaver fans, but definitely get out to that spring game because, it's a new era for Oregon State football. And, it's like anything else where I think there are some new designs and new tweaks where, it will be different, no doubt, but I think Oregon State's going to run, a more the defense will be the same, and I think the offense is going to be a little bit more of a college offense rather than a pro style offense, which could be fun for fans to kind of, rally behind and kind of enjoy. And I'm excited to kind of see how it all shakes out between now and the end of spring.
Likewise on that, and kind of just see what Ryan Gunderson looks like as a play caller. Sure, it'll be probably very
Absolutely.
basic concepts, but that gives at least an indication of what to expect at the start of the season, for at least for play calling.
Absolutely. And yeah, and just to close out the podcast, we got just a few more minutes left. We'd be remiss, Ryan, if we didn't close with some women's basketball talk. You have definitely been on the foreground of that as all that's kind of happened this week. And we kind of spoke about it a little bit earlier. Some of the men's basketball departures, I don't think they caught a whole lot of people by surprise necessarily, given the year the men's team had and just the state of that program. Currently, the women's team, not so much. I think that's been a little bit more surprising. Obviously it starts with, Talia kicking things off, and then Tamea was shortly after, Adley after that, Donovan Hunter, Marta Peach, and then after today, Lily Hansford brings them to six. Ryan, are they done? Or is it still, there's one big name that is still there, and I'm very curious. I'm sure Beaver fans are very curious. What are you hearing on Reagan Beers at the moment?
I've heard back and forth things on her potentially staying, her potentially going. It's really hard to get a gauge on the situation. And for some of these players, it's not entirely, I want to put that out there for people that might be listening, it's not NIL related or anything like that. It's just the situation that Oregon State has been put in, and they're making their decisions as a result of that. But it's just kind of a wait and see thing. Like I said, it's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when. I was hearing earlier today about Hansford, and Marta Peach caught me off a little off guard a little bit. Donovan Hunter I'd heard for a little bit as well too, but I trust Scott to, I really do trust him to hit the portal hard, and maybe this might be something that he uses as a sense of motivation to rebuild this roster. I wouldn't necessarily say done. I think if you can keep Reagan, I think you got a
You have a
shot to
building
be really
block.
good in the WCC next year. But it's just kind of a wait and see at this point on what Reagan decides to do.
I was just, and I'm curious, just, to kind of wrap up here, Ryan, were you as surprised as I that I really thought, and maybe this was naive of me, that Scott Ruick, being the coach that he is, and that program having the success that they've had the last decade, I really thought they would be immune to, and they would get some players that were like, hey, let's go dominate the WCC for a year, see how it goes. From that perspective, this still surprises me.
I think so too, and I kind of got that sense a little bit of like just kind of shock of like some of your major contributors on that Elite Eight run are now gone, and maybe a little bit plays into like their own personal situations a bit, and I don't want to speculate on
Of
anything for
course.
their reasons, and it kind of sucks to see, but like we've seen it in basketball before with Louisville. At least their men's team losing their starting five.
Yep, that's
So this
true.
is kind of a thing in college basketball now. So it sucks for Scott and kind of how this kind of played out, but I think he'll use this and hit the portal hard for next year, because if he can keep Reagan, I think this team has a shot at finishing the top of the WCC next year.
Absolutely. And we'll be back, obviously talking and bringing you guys more news as we get it. We'll be talking more women's basketball, more baseball, more spring football. So make sure to stay locked to beaversedge.com. Big shout out to Ryan Harlan for joining me on this edition of the Edge podcast. And big shout out to everyone for supporting Beaver's Edge. Make sure to head on over to Beaver's Edge and check out all of our content this week. Ryan, big thanks, my man. Hope you have a good one, and we'll talk to you
You as
guys soon.
well.